You're listening to the Hardware X podcast. Welcome. In this podcast, we bring to you the backstory of the open source hardware presented in the journal and the course of these projects after they appear in Hardware X. We also talk to open hardware pioneers and researchers to figure out what motivated them to perform their research in the open science way. My name is Sandy Fayez, and I'm recording this show from my home office in the Netherlands. Today, we start a new series of the podcast, and we have three guests who have joined online. I'm going to speak with the founders and the editors-in-chief of the journal Hardware X, Professor Joshua Pierce and Dr. Todd Duncombe.
I'm Joshua Pierce. I'm a co-editor-in-chief of Hardware X and a professor at Western University in Canada.
My name is Todd Duncombe. I am currently a postdoc at ETH Zurich in Switzerland, and I'm a co-editor-in-chief of Hardware X.
We also have with us Dr. Santosh Pandey, who is a member of the editorial board of Hardware X and the host of the first series.
I'm Santosh Pandey. I'm an associate professor at Iowa State University, Department of Electrical and Computer Engineering. And I'm in the editorial board of Hardware X as an associate editor.
We are going to talk about the journey of Hardware X in the past 4 years, how the pandemic has changed the perception of researchers about open hardware, and how the lessons we have learned from this period can help us in setting up higher quality and more sustainable laboratories. Santosh, you've hosted the first season of this podcast. What could you cover in the podcast that was not communicated in the manuscripts?
Mainly, our motivation for the first season of Hardware X was to provide an alternative platform to our authors to speak about their published work to a broader audience in a simple, easy-to-understand, relatable manner. As you know, every publication has its own story of the inspiration behind the work, the challenges and struggles that authors went through during their research, and the triumphs and the failures of every experiment that they did. So quite simply, we wanted to capture all these moments from the words of the authors through this podcast interviews. And additionally, we wanted to spread the word about open source hardware and the journal Hardware X to a bigger and broader audience who may not be able to come to the journal webpage. So we had 8 episodes in season 1. I think overall the response was very overwhelming.
Thank you, Santosh. My next question is for Joshua. You are a pioneer of open source hardware and one of the founders of this journal. What do you think is the main achievement of Hardware X in the past 4 years?
Well, thank you for the question. I think for me, the most exciting thing that Hardware X has done in the last few years is legitimize completely the development of open hardware for the scientific community. When we started off, there was just a couple nonprofits and professors here and there doing the equivalent of open hardware work, but usually they would publish in the journals that they would normally publish in, and they might have some more details on the hardware development, but usually not enough. And what Todd and I were able to do is create a template that more or less forces you to do hardware development the right way. And so we've started off slowly, but it's been gaining steam at this point in the scientific community. The term open source hardware is increasing at an exponential rate, according to Google Scholar. It's now becoming a conventional, normal way of developing hardware. And I'm extremely proud of that because part of the reason that we did it is to make it more accessible. And so now, if you're not at the best, most well-funded lab in the world, if you're part of a developing community, or even if you're not even in a university, if you're in a high school and you want to do real science with real equipment, Hardware X is providing tools that you can build yourself. And the tools themselves over the last few years have been getting noticeably more complex, more sophisticated, and being able to drive science forward faster. So I'm really proud of the authors that have submitted Hardware X and the path that we're on. I think eventually we'll get to the dream of when you read an article, no matter what journal it's in, and you want to recreate the experiment, it should take you back to a Hardware X article that tells you exactly how to build it. You make it yourself, and you're off to the races.
Can you specify an example of an article in Hardware X that really caught your imagination?
That's a hard question. So, interestingly enough, I just changed universities. I came from Michigan and I'm at Western University, and I'm trying to build up my lab. And in the olden days, I'd kind of done things naturally where I had a bunch of conventional scientific equipment, and then as things broke or as I wanted something new, I would develop an open hardware tool for it. And this time, though, because I'm starting from scratch, what I did is I went through every issue of Hardware X and I picked out everything I wanted. And I have a list of 17 things that my students are currently building My lab is going to be completely open source at this point. We're only purchasing hardware that we're either making ourselves or that someone else has done the awesome work of providing it for us ahead of time. And now we're making it. And there are a couple pieces of hardware that I got from other journals, but HardwareX by far had the most things that were useful for my own lab, which does everything from photovoltaic development to recycling and additive manufacturing. And so I think at this point, if I can do it, everybody else can too, where you can go pretty far just with tools that are available at HardwareX.
Yeah, that must be quite interesting for startup groups to shop in the open hardware catalog and make better use of their limited startup funds. Would you agree?
Yeah, you can stretch your dollar so much further. I mean, to buy one or two pieces of conventional proprietary equipment can outfit your entire lab with state-of-the-art stuff. And it's all customizable. You can change that all if you want to. You can make it really your own. And that's exactly what I'm in the process of doing right now.
My next question is from Todd. In the aims and scopes of the journal, it is mentioned that HardwareX is promising to make scientific hardware accessible and discoverable. Are you satisfied with the global reach of the journal?
I've been actually blown away by how much HardwareX has grown and where it's been adopted around the world. So actually in 2019, not our first year, but kind of one of our early years when we were getting rolling, about half the submissions came from the United States. In 2021, only 25% came from the United States. While South and Central America in 2019 was just 2% of the submissions, over 12% of the submissions in 2021. We've also seen growth within Europe, Asia, Africa also now get 4% of our submissions from Africa in 2021. So I've been very happy with kind of the collective growth around the world. I think as HardwareX gets known as somewhere where people want to publish, where there's high quality work, and where authors' research will be viewed and taken up around the world, I think that's in part it's related to just our notoriety, but also we've made an active effort to reach out to establish associative editors at different places around the world. So that's how we've tried to expand in this direction, and hopefully we can continue that going forward.
And where is the next place that you would like to see more submissions from?
Yeah, so I mentioned Africa. So 4% of our submissions come from Africa currently. I would really like to do even better than that in terms of expanding our reach. So if you're an academic in Africa who would like to be an associate editor, please contact us. We would love to work with you.
We are just coming out of a long 2 years of a pandemic, which disrupted many research, but also changed the public perception of open hardware and how science is done in general. Let me ask this question from Joshua. How do you see the public perception among researchers have changed about virtual labs and open hardware?
I think, if anything, it's given a lot more support for our approach to things. And so my own lab kind of suffered the same thing everybody else's did, where they shut the university down, told everyone to go home. And what was unique about what we were doing is because we were doing all open hardware development that you could replicate yourself, I literally sent all my students home with their equipment. So they were doing like foundry work in their garages. They had 3D printers going in their dorm rooms. Like everybody was still functional. And the first year of the pandemic, which was pretty scary for us, rural university that was cut off and didn't have access to a lot of supplies, our productivity actually increased. And so when everybody was by themselves with their equipment and we were meeting over Jitsi and open source teleconference system, our productivity went up. And a lot of our work, we pivoted towards COVID-19 related research. And that was kind of the beginning of the foundation of the COVID-19 special issue. And I think a lot of the articles that came out of that, both from our group, but really from all over the world, that were published in HardwareX were truly helpful to communities at the time. Thankfully, looks like we got mostly out of the inability to manufacture things. But what it did show is that you could fabricate high quality, even medical grade devices at your own place. Now, the other thing that I think it taught us is that even as we were developing things like a ventilator and we were trying to purchase normally available components, they weren't available. And that was quite frustrating. Kind of coming from the US where everything's available within like 2 days from Amazon, most of the world doesn't have that normally. And so the things that we were able to easily source locally, where, for example, we could take our own waste plastic and convert it into filament and then use it for plastic components and scientific hardware, if we can do that with all the different materials and all the subcomponents, that's how your lab is going to be truly self-sufficient and you can keep doing science no matter what kind of whacked out pandemic we end up in the future or how crazy things get. And I'm quite hopeful that the global community of creating open hardware grew by huge amounts during the pandemic. And now people are very aware of it. And I think it's good to try to keep that momentum going, because every piece of hardware that's open sourced only makes all of us wealthier. Even if we don't necessarily get more money, we're all wealthier because our capacity to do science or to help out our fellow citizens increases.
Oh, that's very interesting. So the lessons we learned from the pandemic are actually helping us to have a new look at the sustainability of our research infrastructure and the circular economy of scientific hardware. Todd, how would you describe the impact of the special issue on COVID of HardwareX?
Yeah, I think the special issue Joshua and I and HardwareX rolled out not long after the pandemic began to try to encourage the development in this medical hardware COVID-19 space, but also to encourage certain standards for how that development should be done, how you should document that work, which authors need to do if they're going to submit to HardwareX, including for this special issue. So there were 19 publications, and I think actually by going through the peer review process and working with us, they're actually better communicated to the public than they would have been otherwise. And this included a large set of different things. You know, there's several different ventilator designs, respirators, 3D printed nose swab collectors, portable temperature measurements, UVC, decontamination of masks, CO2 monitoring for ventilation. So now there's this large set of some useful tools that are very well documented and online. So I think we did a good job of essentially capturing the moment where lots of people were doing this, not for HardwareX, but for the world, and putting it in a format that then could be reproduced that essentially follows good open science practices.
That's really impressive. Joshua, do you want to add something?
I think overall it was a tremendous success. And in looking at the open hardware development, particularly of the ventilators, which I did very early in the pandemic, the vast majority of them, even that they worked documented well. And so HardwareX showed people how to do it the right way. But even with that, I think we exposed some weaknesses in the overall community, which is that particularly for medical hardware, the way that it's regulated now makes it impossible to do distributed manufacturing. And we kind of got a pass during like the completely crazy times. But the FDA actually has a call for public comment right now open, where they're asking for everybody's opinion on how these things should go. And my personal opinion is that we need to keep the technical requirements as tip-top. In fact, maybe even have them increased for distributed manufacturing, because you're going to have variations in your manufacturing process. But the way that it's set up now is you're basically not allowed unless you're pre-approved as an FDA facility. And there's a lot of paperwork involved with that that's currently used as a barrier to small and medium-sized enterprises from competing against the big guys. All of that stuff needs to go away. It should be based purely on technical requirements. And one of the things that I think HardwareX does really well on that is that we demand validation. So it's very nice that you made some cool hardware, but you have to show us that it works and tell us what the specifications are, what the error is, the precision, the accuracy, so that other people can use it as a scientific tool. And I think if we do that or sort of encourage that across the board, particularly in the area of medical hardware, we'll be doing the world a great service in the future.
I know, for example, that in Germany, there are some activities about standardization of open hardware, also in coordination with the national standard organizations. Are you aware of more examples of such activities in North America?
So there's the open call from the FDA, which I think is encouraging it. In Canada, Western University actually just put forward a major strategic initiative to do low-cost hardware for medical tools. And one of the things that we'll be working on is the standardization with the health authorities in Canada to make that more accessible. And then the area that I'm probably most optimistic about is the UN has shown an enormous interest in open hardware, like kind of appropriate technology development as a whole, and are considering putting together a centralized database of validated designs. And if that actually comes to pass, I think it will be incredible. And one of the like HardwareX is priming the pump. Like we have a huge collection of really high-end hardware now that can be fabricated by lay people to get to the point of scientific research. And those, I think we could be the beginning of that kind of master database that the UN would like to put together.
So to make tools of scientific research accessible to everyone. I really like the sound of that. I have my last question from Santosh. What should our listeners expect from the second season of the HardwareX podcast?
I think season two will be better than season one, with more interesting content and more engaging format. To start with, we are excited to have you as our new host for season two. We will have around 8 to 10 episodes in season 2, and we are expecting to release every episode on a rolling basis. There will be some episodes based on author interviews that we had in season 1, where we chat with select authors from different countries who have published their work in HardwareX. In other episodes, we will invite and talk to notable personalities around the world who have made significant contributions in open source hardware. This time, we want to encourage gender equality, diversity, and inclusion. So with that in mind, we will have more female guests in this season, and we will have more representation from different countries, authors, and experts from different disciplines, engineering and the sciences. We are also trying to spread the word globally about open source hardware and HardwareX through this podcast channel. Now, lastly, I would like to say to any listener interested to be a guest in our show, to please feel free to contact the journal leadership or Dr. Fayez, and we would love to interview you and capture your story if possible.
I'll just add that we are looking into new special issues on different topics. So if you have any ideas about that or would like to be a guest editor, we'd love to hear from you.
And with that open invitation, we come to the end of this episode. That was Joshua Pierce, Todd Duncombe, and Sandush Pandey, all editors of the journal HardwareX. You can find more about the journal on the website of the HardwareX, that's hardware-x.com. You can also find the feed to this podcast, or perhaps search for Joshua's review article on the economic savings of free and open source hardware. Yeah, less money on stuff and more money for people and research. The HardwareX podcast is produced by Dr. Santosh Pandey from Iowa State University and hosted by me, Sanli Fayez, from Utrecht University. Our theme music is made by Alexander Sobotchka. You can reach me on Twitter at Sanli, that's S-A-N-L-I. Please reach out if you have any suggestions for the podcast or if you want to tell us the story of your open hardware. Until next time, have a good day.